Today is June 20th, 2013. We discussed yesterday that there's a machlekes rishonim, there's a disagreement amongst the rishonim whether in order to be a nechar, called ben nechar lecha, but in order to be someone who's estranged or foreign to the Torah, whether he has to commit the sin of avodah zara, like the Rambam says, which is equivalent to transgressing the entire Torah. Does it have to be something global like that? Or even if it's a single sin, something that's not as great as a sin as avodah zara. And one example we gave, we inferred from a Rashi that if one didn't deliberately do a bris milah, that would also be that would categorize him as a ben nechar, to the point where he would be forbidden to partake. Aside from the fact that he has other issues, that he's an orel, which is a different mitzvah, but just that mitzvah alone, as far as being classified as a mishumad, as somebody who is strange, that would be the same. And Rashi says that very clearly in Maseches Pesachim. He says ben nechar is somebody who's a strange, foreign to the Torah, and he doesn't have to transgress the whole Torah. Okay. Now, in the fourth paragraph here, we have a finer discussion about what the word nechar really means. This is what Drew asked before. What exactly is a ben nechar? So Rashi, as we mentioned several times, says kol ben nechar, and this is from a medrash, shenisnakru ma'isov lo'aviv shebashamayim. His actions are foreign to his father in heaven, and therefore would include a Nachri and a Yisrael, whether it be a non-Jew or a Jew, it would be included. The Ramban makes a comparison, which is somewhat counterintuitive. He says, "Uperusha menukar," which is Nachri, which is estranged, distant, foreign. Vishiurai mishumada. The same way we have the word mishumad, but mishumada with an ayin would be equivalent. Miloshin vishtemoida Yosef lachayhi. This is Aramaic. These are the words when Yosef was having this discussion with his brothers. So it says there, I actually put it in parentheses, one line beneath. It says, Vayakar Yosef es echav. Yosef recognized, Vayaker, Yosef is Echav, he recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. So interestingly, the Ramban says that the word Nachri, which we usually take as, like Rashi says, Nisnak Rum Yosef, it's strange, it's unusual, it's distant. Here, it seems like he's saying it's compared to Vishtemoida Yosef Lachai, Yosef was aware. He was aware of his brothers, but they didn't recognize him, they didn't see him. So like the word nikar, recognizable.
Oh, yeah. That's what's usually translated.
That what? Which way?
Recognize them, but they didn't recognize him.
Correct. No, I'm just saying the word nechar, therefore, while it means estranged, the Ramban is saying it also means recognized. So I saw here in my research here, I found the Ksava HaKabbalah, a beautiful pirish. He says, Kishair, he's commenting on the Ramban. He quotes the Ramban and then he says, Kishairish Nechar Yeshamesh Davar Vihifuchai. It will actually symbolize something and its opposite. Ha'echad Yediyah V'Hakara. One is recognizing, knowing. And he quotes the Yiddish word, Erkenen. Okay? Erkenen. Kimai vayaker Yosef es Echav, like the word that Yosef recognized his brothers, which we mentioned is the interpretation is of the unglos is v'ishtemoida, which means like yedia. The habez, the second function of this word, is shlilas ha'akara. Is the opposite, is the absence of recognition, which is farkenen in Yiddish. So somebody who is המסחפש ומשתנה במאיסה בבגדה בדיבורה כדי שלא יכירוהו. Somebody who disguises himself in order that he shouldn't be recognized. Like, כמי ויסנקר אליהם. Like the Ramban says there, פחד יוסף פן יכירוהו. Yosef was concerned lest his brothers recognize him. לכן הסנקר אליהם. Therefore, he made himself strange.
It's possibly kind of a lushan no fill, a lushan is kind of a wordplay.
Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely. So he continues. Vihine Bishar Mekaimis Stam Nachri Ben Nechar Hu Tayar Le'ena Yisraeli. You should know that usually in the Torah, when the word Nechar or Nachri is used, it usually refers to a non-Jew. Kimai Kol Ben Nechar Asher Lo'im Yizarachahu. Like the pasuk, any ben echa that's not from your children, v'chol ben echa nimaylu itay, all the strangers did bris mila with him. Umiyad ben echa leisakrivu la nochri sashich, you should be able to do ribis. Ukedaima lozeharbe shehem toyar la'ina Yisraeli. There's many examples of where the word nochri actually means somebody who's not Jewish. Uketarga munklis, bar amimin, fine. Amnam, however, kan, bo hakabola, our tradition is, shepirish ben nechar, here, it's a different tradition. It's a different word. Everywhere else in the Torah, ben nechar really means a nochri, a non-Jew. But here, our tradition is, afli Yisraeli hamakish ba'mitas mitziusai yizbarach. Even somebody who acts, he's Jewish, but he acts estranged from Hashem, the pasuk in Yecheskel is talking about a kayan who also is not behaving properly. He shouldn't go into the Beis Hamikdash, and he uses the word ben nechar there in Yecheskel. So he says, with very few exceptions, we have this sort of thing. But in short, really, what's important for us is that somebody who is not entirely, we'll see soon this theme recurring, somebody who's not entirely in line with the Torah, in this particular mitzvah, he cannot have a portion.
Part of the there are other shoroshim where you have the same shorosh in different minyanim.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Dover v'fuchen.
Rooted, but shoresh means to uproot from the roots, to uproot, and words like lechat, echat, echat, to sin, but lechat is to remove sin.
Right, right. You have that many times, correct. Okay, so just in support of this as well, there's other situations in the Torah where you have, it says, Vayar Yosef es Echav, Yosef saw his brothers, Vayakireim, and he recognized them, Vayisnaker Eleim, Vayadabritam Koshas. That was the passage that we mentioned earlier. On one hand, it says he recognized them, and then he made himself strange to them. So in the same pasuk, you have Dover v'Yifuchei, one right after the other. Rashi says, "Vayisnaker elam nasalem kin nachri bedvarim ledaber kashes." He started to speak very strongly. He became a foreigner to them. He wasn't a brother. So you see very clearly, even in the same pasuk, one word after the other, these two functions are used. Hecker, nicker, yeah. Yeah. And then there's a pasuk in Mishle, interestingly, I saw this brought down in the Sefer Shari Aaron. It says there, Gam b'malolov yisnaker nar, imzach v'myosher pa'olei. Already from his actions, you could tell, you could distinguish a child, whether he's zach, imyosher pa'olei, if he's straightforward, if he's pure. But it says there, yisnaker nar, it could be nicker, it could be recognizable. So, again, you have these two functions. Okay. Now, somewhat of an introduction to the next few mitzvahs. We do have, the first mitzvah that we had was that a ben necher called ben necher le'echal bay, but really, in keeping in mind the context, we have three different mitzvahs, not necessarily in sequential order of the usual list of the mitzvahs, as we'll see in the psukim now. But we have three psukim that bring for us three prohibitions of types of people that are forbidden to eat the Pesach. And we have to explain, we have to understand why they're all necessary. So let's just see here. It says, this is all from Perek Yubeis, Pasuk Mem Gimel, begins with Pasuk Mem Gimel. V'emer Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron, Zayis chukas ha-pasuk, kol ben neichar le'yechal bay. That's the first one, is a ben neichar. Kol ben neichar le'yechal bay, there should not be an estranged person that we know is either a non-Jew, or it means a Jew, as we saw at great length, is a Jew that has distanced himself. Okay? V'chol eved ish miknas kosef, anybody who's an eved that's owned by a Jew, umalto so, and he has mila, az yechal bay, he is permitted. Now look at this. Taishav v'sachir lo yechal bay. That's the next mitzvah we're going to deal with. A taishav and a sachir lo yechal bay. Loosely translated, we'll get to the finer details, but a taishav means a resident, and a sachir is someone who's a worker, lo yechal bay. It says, "Bebayis echad yeachel should be eaten in one house. Lo yseitzi min habayis min habasar chutzi. Shouldn't take any of the meat outside of the house." We're in 27 over here in the psukim. Okay, v'etzam lo yisishbru bay. You shouldn't break a bone. Kol das yisrael yasu eisei. And then it says, "V'chiyagur itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem." If there's a stranger that lives among you, and he wants to make the Pesach, then he could do Mila, and he could do it. And then it'll be like one of the inhabitants of the land. And any non-circumcised person should not eat from it. So what's interesting and somewhat strange here is, number one, we say kol ben nechar. Number two, we say Taisha v'sachir shouldn't eat from it. And kol arel ayechal bay, somebody who doesn't have a circumcision, it would seem that there's some redundancy here. The Torah seems very, very specific and very intent on making sure that foreigners and people that are not totally involved in the Torah, committed to the Torah, or converted to the Torah, should not take part. But why do we need all these three? Wait, so,
is the ger, this last pasuk, is that a ger toshav? If so, how does it differ?
Correct. So let's see. So first of all, the Gemara in Pesachim says like this: V'itzrich lemichtiv arel, v'itzrich lemichtiv nechar. It has to say arel and it has to say nechar. Now we know already from before that the word nechar includes a Jew who is nisnak rumaisav. So that, in a sense, will answer the question. The ikaz rachman arel. If it just says a non-circumcised mishum demayis, person doesn't have. So that's. It's repulsive to the Torah. A person doesn't have a circumcision. Avol ben neichar, but a quote unquote ben neichar, loy mois. He's not repulsive. So aim aloy. Now, here we assume that the ben neichar that the Gemara is talking about is, that's not repulsive to the Torah at least, is a Jew, but he has a circumcision, yes? So he's not repulsive in the sense that he has a circumcision already. Okay? So tzricha, we need both of them. V'yashmin and ben echar, and if it tells us about a ben echar shouldn't eat mishum de'en li b'lashamayim, because he's not in line with the dictums of the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's not interested in listening. So of course you don't have part in the Pesach. Aval arel, but a person who's an arel the li b'lashamayim, perhaps he's Jewish and he's doing all the Torah, but li b'lashamayim. Let's say, as an example, one case we had earlier was somebody who's not refraining deliberately from circumcising, but rather, let's say, his two brothers died before him, etc. He's somebody that does want to fulfill all the mitzvos. So emaloi, maybe for him, he could eat the Pesach. So tzricha. So in short, we need kol ben echar, and we need arels, because sometimes a person doesn't have a circumcision, although it's not his fault, it's not because he doesn't want to conform to the laws of the Torah. He's excluded, the Torah says, kol arel yechabai. And kol ben echar, somebody could be estranged from the Torah or distant, but he could even be a guy, and he could have a circumcision, still not enough. Kol ben echar. So you really need both. Okay, so that takes care of those two as far as that's concerned. So let's talk a little bit about the next mitzvah. We'll move on to the mitzvah number 14, which is that you shouldn't give it to a ger taishav, right? The pasuk says, taishav v'sach le'echabai. Says Rashi, taishav ze ger taishav. We'll see in a moment what that is. Sachir ze hanochri. And we'll see a little bit finer detail in a moment. Uma Talmud Lohimer, what is the point of the Torah mentioning these people? A Ger Taisha is still a guy. A Sachir is still a guy. What's the point? Bahaloya Reilim Haim. In any case, they're excluded from the pasuk that says the non-circumcised can't eat. B'nehemar v'chalar alayichomai already says in the pasuk not to eat. The Rashi says this in Chumash right on that pasuk. Elok ha'goyna aravi mohul v'givayni mohul v'hu taisha v'isachir. We're talking about a non-Jew who happens to have a mila. Arabs, they may have a mila, but there's still a taisha v'isachir. So, as we always, we turn to the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says like this. HaTayshav hu adam min ha'umais. Tayshav is somebody who is from the non-Jewish people. Shekima olav shalai lavad avayda zara. The reason why he's called a Tayshav, the reason why he's allowed to be a resident, is only because he's accepted upon himself not to serve avayda zara. V'ayichol nevelas. But he's still not Jewish. He's still not keeping to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. He hasn't converted. He's still doing his usual thing, but he's not of the Avodah Zarah persuasion, shall we call it. And I'll explain a little in a moment. V'sachir, sachir is one who's hired, who ger shomol v'lay taval. We'll see a little finer a little later. He's a ger that had mila, but he didn't go through the full conversion. We'll see others have a different interpretation. Let's just see. Mishirashi mitzvazu. Very, very important words. The reason behind this mitzvah, or from the reason, what we mentioned earlier is Lizkar Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Because this is all part of the Karban Pesach, to remember the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Since this Karban, this is very similar to what we said in the previous, which is a Ben Nechar, right? Somebody who's even somebody who's estranged. Since this carbon is in order to remind us of our freedom, but what does it mean, our freedom? Freedom to what? To exercise our free will, to serve Hashem on our own free will. Ubayanu bevris nemanoim Hashem Yisbarach. It's not enough that we had freedom. Freedom for what? To run around and go to movies the whole day. Freedom to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. That we entered a covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because that's the purpose of the mitzvah of Pesach, so ro'ui, it is befitting, shelo yehenu bai, and here are the key words, rak oisam sheheshlimu be'emuna. We didn't have this in the past. We had, it's not appropriate for other people, we're not part of the Jewish nation, etc. But only people sheheshlimu be'emuna ve'hem yisraelim gemurim. That's the emphasis. They're complete, they're full-fledged Yisraelim. Not enough that he's born Jewish. Like we saw in the Beis HaLevi, the guy looks around and says, what, I'm not Jewish? The answer is, yes, you're Jewish. But you're not Shlema be'emuna. You're not complete in your emuna, and therefore you're not a full-fledged Jew. Technically you're Jewish, but you're certainly not acting that way. And if you're not Hishlimu, when you're not complete in your emunah and your faith, your desire is to fulfill the Torah, and your desire is, and your beliefs are that the Torah is true, and that the words of the Chachamim are true, as we mentioned, it's Torah Shebal Peh as well. V'loy elu sha'adayin leibo b'bris sholem imanu. We don't want included in this mitzvah anybody who is not completely committed. And distancing somebody who doesn't have a bris, it's from this as well. This is a bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam. This mitzvah, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach is a covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we do not want those sort of people included. Now, the Abarbanel, yes? Excellent. So a lot of these issues... A lot of these issues that we just mentioned are going to be addressed by the Abarbanel, including that. So let's see what he says here. The Abarbanel says, I'm just quoting the Abarbanel, even though many say similar, because he, in a short period, short span, he covers a lot of different bases. So he says like this. He's going through all the mitzvahs of Pesach. One of the next mitzvah related to Korban Pesach is that a Toshav and a Sochir should not eat from it. V'royel odas, it's worthy to know, b'me ha'kosav hazeh medaber. What is this talking about? Ki ma Toshav v'Sochir heim b'nei nechor v'arelim. If these are full-fledged goyim and non-circumcised people, kvar nemar kol b'nechor le'echol boy. It already says a Nachri shouldn't eat. V'nemar kol arol le'echol boy. It also says that an aral, later on it says, an aral should not eat, a non-circumcised should not eat. Bimheim gerim nimaylim, and if there are converts that are full-fledged Jews, they also even have mila, harim kisrael gomor. Like it says, v'hayok ezer ha'aretz. The pasuk says that openly, that a ger, somebody that, right, we just read it. As long as he's a full-fledged ger, a sincere ger, and he does everything he needs to do, and he's taval also, he goes to the mikveh, and he has a mila, he'd be like one of you, a full-fledged Jew. Right? So I'm in the third line back on page 28 now. Okay. So he's quoting Chazal that teach us the following. The Taishav that we're referring to here is a Ger Taishav. Like Rashi had said, it's a person who is a resident, has not accepted the Torah, he hasn't converted, he just accepted upon himself to what? And not to fulfill Avodah Zarah. But he's coming to live amongst Klal Yisrael. And how do we know that this is a person who accepted not to fulfill Avodah Zarah, not to commit Avodah Zarah? Ki bezula zeh, if not for this, absent this fact that he accepted upon himself not to do Avodah Zarah, lo hayu manichem ha'isai lo sheves b'seicham, we would never be allowed to let him live among us. Why? Like the pasuk says, mishum lo yeshu b'artzecha pen yachtiro ischali. Don't allow these people to live among you because they'll cause you. That's right. V'sachir, so that's a toshav, as Rashi had said. V'sachir hu ha'eved she'ein gufay kanoi. Sachir is an eved that is not, he's not owned by you. Avo eved avayde ma b'scharai. He does some work, where he's hired, a hired hand. The Torah is teaching us that if you have this wage earner, he's hanging around, and even if he has a mila, just like this other person, the Taishav who accepted upon himself not to do Avodah Zarah, even if he has a mila, like if he's an Aravi or Givaini, lo yoichlu b'Pesach. Why? Kihem karviyim, I give on him an emailim, kemeshikos of Rashi, like Rashi says. Or he's like a ger that had a mila but didn't fulfill, didn't finish his gerus. Kemeshom rubi gemara. So it says like this. He says like this. Kihine afal pisha enam arelim. Because even though they're not arelim, they have a bris mila, so why can't they do the mitzvah Pesach? They do not truly believe in this mitzvah or its reason. And they don't fully believe in the one who gave the mitzvah. Now they accepted not to do Avodah Zarah, but it doesn't mean that they don't have a covenant with the Rebbeinu Shalom. They don't fully believe in him. It's not therefore appropriate that they should eat from it. And the fact that they did mila is not an indication that they really are true to the Hashem and His Torah. They didn't do l'shem mitzvah l'kis. And therefore, hayayim umachar yeolchu l'darkam, there's a suspicion, a strong suspicion, that tomorrow, the day after, when it's no longer beneficial for them to hang around here, right? They'll go out, l'artzayisam l'goyayim, they'll go back to their original place of original nation. The sign of somebody who's truly a sincere ger is when the rough gets going for the Jewish people, they still remain with the Jewish people. We have situations like this, obviously, over the course of history. One prime example is Rus, obviously, right? She was in a situation where she wasn't gaining financially or gaining from it, and she said she was going in any case. Person who's a ger, and then you know that he's going to gain from, he's going to be able to marry somebody he wants to marry, or he'll run into riches, or run it. That's not a sincere gerus. Right, so his uncle was the emperor, so he could have remained and had all sorts of riches, etc. And he chose not to, right? And that's really the true mida of a Jewish person. The true mida, the true nature of a Jewish person is that they're willing, and this is something that you don't find by the Ummah Sa'ilam. You find, you know, at the end of days, it says in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, at the end of days, the Goyim are going to say, Hashem, you should give us mitzvahs too. Of course, you're giving everything to the Jews. Give us mitzvahs too. So Hashem gives them a mitzvah. And then while he gives them the mitzvah, he takes the sun and he brings out the sun with intense heat. And they leave the sukkah and in disgust, they kick the sukkah and they walk out. So there's many different things to learn from that Gemara. But one thing you see very clearly, if you want to be on the level of the Jewish people to the point where you'll receive such reward for what you're doing, you have to be in for the fight. Not enough just to, and as we saw yesterday, that people won't question. I saw this yesterday in a Rashi. Give me a moment. It was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. And there, the Gemara says like this, fascinating. The Gemara says that if a person gives a selah l'tzedakah, he gives something to tzedakah, and he says, was this in Rosh Hashanah? I believe so. If a person says, I give a selah l'tzedakah, I give a coin to tzedakah on condition that my son has a refuah shleima, on condition that I get something good out of it. What does the Gemara say? Hareiz et tzadik gomer. There's a story in the Gemara there about Kairish, who said to the Jewish people, he said, go ahead, build a Beis HaMikdash, and you can take all sorts of things from my coffers, from my treasury, and so on, in order that you build a Beis HaMikdash, you serve your God and you pray for your king, which meant himself. So Gemara sort of hints to the fact that this was not L'shem Shemaim. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't the greatest person for having done that. So the Gemara asks, but what do you mean? You have a Chazal that tells if you give tzedakah for the purpose of, to get some good out of it, then you're tzadik gomer. So the Gemara says, one is by a Jew and one is by a non-Jew. Well, what's the difference? So there's a frightening Rashi there. It's very, very... it's great insight for us, and I was thinking of maybe Beatinus. See here if they have a Gemara. But in any case, I'll tell you what the Rashi says. Basically, is just wanted to know if there's no Shas here, right?
No.
Rashi does a fascinating thing. What's that? No, it's fine. What Rashi says there is the following. He says, for a non, why should it be that way? A non-Jew says, I'm giving the tzedakah on condition that in order that my son should have a refuah shleima, that's not a great deal. But when a Jew does it, then he's a tzadik gomer. What's the difference? So the Gemara says like this, a Jew, if it doesn't work out well, what does he do? He says, I give this on condition that, that I should have, the IRS shouldn't bother me this year, you know? And then the IRS does bother him. What's the Jew's reaction? The common Jew's reaction is, I didn't merit that it should work for me. You daven and daven and daven for something to happen, it doesn't happen, I'm not worthy enough. Or I did Averis, so therefore, is he going to have tainus on Hashem? No. So that means his pledge to Hashem, I'm giving this on condition, is not absolutely contingent. He knows that this will be beneficial for him. And he's hoping that it's going to lead to a refuah shleima for his child or whatever success he's looking for. He knows that. So it's wholehearted. It's an act of purity. It's an act of true goodness. Somebody who's not Jewish, as soon as it turns around and it doesn't work out, Now he has tainus. Now he has complaints. He has tarumus. So when he's giving the sella to tzedakah, he's giving that coin to tzedakah. Is it wholehearted? Is it 100% for the mitzvah tzedakah? Does he truly believe that this mitzvah that he's doing is that this act that he's doing is a mitzvah, that it's going to create good? He doesn't truly believe that, and therefore he can't be given much credit for it. The Jewish person is doing it irrespective of the results. He's hoping that through this, the merit, but he knows it will create merit for him. Whether it will actually help in this case or not, he doesn't know. It could be the sin, chet gairim. It could be sin will cause that he won't. See, here the distinction the Gemara is making, according to Rashi, between a Jew and a non-Jew is the definition of a Jew is that his faith is intact in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not every single Jew, but the quintessential Jew. The typical Jew, your faith is intact, and even if it doesn't work out, you're not blaming it on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore your act is an act of pure tzedakah. And therefore you can be considered a tzaddik gomer. So here too, you find it easy in, easy out. The guy comes in and he does a mila, you know, he accepts not to do avodah zarah, but says the Abarbanel, today he's here, and tomorrow he's gone. There's no commitment. As soon as the tough gets going, as soon as the going gets tough, rather, he's out of here. I don't have this. The Hashem gave the tzaddikim, he gave the goyim the mitzvah of sukkah, and what happens? As soon as the shemesh comes out, it was a lesson that Hashem was telling these goyim. You want reward like the Jewish people? You know what kind of service the Jewish people did to me? You know what kind of service? It's not just that they did the mitzvahs and it's difficult. It's that they did it even under trying circumstances. And if you put a Jew in a sukkah, and Nebuchadnezzar has to leave because the sun is too hot, or because there's bugs all over the place, or because it, when he leaves, what did he do? He kicks the sukkah like the goyim did. He cries that he can't fulfill the mitzvah. He feels like an evich, a shavach like kitan alpanav. He feels terrible, as the Mishnah says. He feels like a servant who comes to pour a glass of wine for his master, and the master takes it and spills it on him. What do you mean? He should say, Hashem, you're the one that caused the who. Why'd you spill it on me? I'm coming here to serve you. Why are you doing this to me? No, a Jew doesn't have complaints. That's the definition of a Jew. And therefore, people are not fully 100% committed to the life of a Jew, to the mitzvahs of the Torah. This particular mitzvah, you can't partake. And then at the end, he addresses Neil's issue right after the underlined lines there. Umnam, however, ha'eved ha'nikne, an eved that is acquired, a slave that is acquired by the Jew, kivan shehu kesef ha'bali, belongs to the Jewish person, v'nimol l'mitzvos ha'elokim, and he actually was circumcised for what purpose? To follow the direction of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he will not go free, mi beis rabbi, so he'll remain within the confines of a Torah true home. So he tirase taira lechol bepesach, but not a taishim asach here. So someone who's a quasi committed, he's not included. But an eved that's fully within the grasp of the Jewish person, within the environment of a Jewish home, him we could allow. In addition, we have a connection to the Pesach Mitzrayim, where there were non-Jews living in Goshen. I wasn't aware of that, but apparently there were non-Jews living in their cities, and they didn't give to them. That's another reason why we don't give it. But very telling words by all of the Mefarshim here, and that is that even a Taishav, not just somebody who's a Jewish person and not behaving properly, but somebody who's on his way, he's somewhat committed, he's committed not to do Avodah Zarah, and he does a Bris Milah. All these kind of things are very nice, and it's a halfway step, but easy come, easy go, and since he could be gone tomorrow, this commitment is not entirely foolproof, and therefore, even someone like that cannot take part in the Karban Pesach.
What about a Jewish side, but no fault of his own, can't get a bris?
Right, so that's what we're talking about. What, you want to know why he's excluded?
Yeah.